WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. Stay tuned for Back of the Book. The incredible Back of the Book. On one foundation.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Should be about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All. He may be able to lift mask and vaccination mandates, but the mayor can't make us breathe easier. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She's Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go there and look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 81st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be talking about them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the week, of course, is that we are holding once again at 119 followers on Twitter. And yes, it's overtaken all of the other headlines in the world, that little item. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held this coming Wednesday, March 9th, 2022, at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Even though Zoom compromises privacy and security, you can listen to all of the great, wonderful stuff that's going to go on by going up to the Zoom stuff, and I believe the details are on WBAI.org. If not, they're at kpftx.org. You can look around there. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 443,000,936 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,988,000. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 79,232,260, and the death toll in America was 957,633. So 11,152 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is once again significantly lower than it was last week, but it's still a huge number of deaths every week. the pandemic is not over, and without this pandemic and all of these deaths, we would be really going nuts about an extra 11,000 people just dying over the past week. Pandemic isn't over, all right. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course, and as I keep saying, this was all mostly preventable. And, of course, we mentioned that this is our 81st pandemic episode, and, of course, for some of this time during a pandemic, we were on our old bi-weekly schedule, and, well, then we went weekly. So it's been 81 programs that we've done pre-recorded. We're supposed to be a free-form live radio program, but of course things got shut down. We were last at WBAI's studios at 388 Atlantic Avenue on March 7th, 2020, which is just short of 2 years ago. It's when you're listening to this on March 5th, it'll be in 2 days, so Monday will mark 2 years since we were there. And I remember that was our last actual free-form live radio program, and Pickles of the North was all very nervous about that, and she came in with her patented cleaning solutions, mostly consisting of, what, vinegar and hydrogen peroxide and stuff like that, and she was wiping down a lot of the studio at WBAI there. So, that's going to be, that's something that we haven't had to do for a long time, because that was it. I guess the next program we do in 1 week will be the anniversary, the second anniversary of our not being at the studio. 2 solid years of back of the book pre-recorded. Wow, that's going to be something, all right. And regarding COVID-19, the pandemic and all of that, there's iffy news and good news about the pandemic at this time. The iffy news is that New York City Mayor Eric Adams is scrapping the mask and vaccination mandates for indoor activities. Starting Monday, the city is not going to require any kind of precautions for people doing things indoors. Individual stores and things can require masks, but the city won't back them up on any of that, and I'm sure that we're going to get some stores saying, no, we want you to wear a mask, and you'll probably get anti-vaxxers going in and attacking them or something. The mayor's soundbite for this pronouncement regarding not having to wear masks to show proof of vaccination, his soundbite is, quote, "We are winning, New York," unquote. New York City Health Commissioner Dr. David Chokshi said, quote, "While this COVID-19 wave is ebbing, we can't say that the pandemic is ending," unquote. And yeah, he's right in that. It would probably be bright to be a bit more cautious for at least, you know, some weeks longer. And Dr. Chokshi said, "As we look ahead, living with COVID cannot mean ignoring when too many continue to die of COVID," unquote. I guess we'll see what happens with all of this. Pickles and I plan to keep pre-recording this radio program for a while longer. We don't know how long any of this is going to happen. Besides the possibility of a resurgence of COVID-19, which I cannot afford to get at all. If I get COVID-19, there's a goddamn good chance I'm going to show up on the death statistics here. There is also the prospect of going onto the subway at 4 a.m. when the assault and murder rate on the subways is so high. This is, you know, it's not COVID per se that's doing it, but because so many people bailed on it, part of what's happened is a lot of the mentally ill homeless people have gone really off the deep end, and if they weren't violent before, a lot of them are violent now, and it's showing up, And if you're one of the very few people on the subway, they're going to vector in on you and try to kill you. That's not all homeless people, of course. Most of the homeless people on there are just shivering and wishing people would leave them alone and, you know, hoping to live another day and maybe get something to eat. But there are the crazies, the homicidal crazies, and they're slashing people, hitting people, shoving people onto the tracks, doing all of these terrible things. And one idiot took a this is an interesting thing, and we have to try and watch what we say because the FCC doesn't allow all language to go over the air. One idiot this past week went up and tried to make time with a woman who was sitting waiting for a train, and she wouldn't talk to him. So he went into a train car because I think it was up at Van Cortlandt Park or something. And of course, the train is there waiting. And he goes into the train, takes out a plastic bag, relieves himself with number two into the plastic bag. Then he comes out and he dumps the bag and smears the fecal matter all over this woman's head and face. And, oh, yes, he's out on the street now. And he also when he got out of the arraignment, he was immediately grabbed by Brooklyn detectives because he had physically assaulted a guy. He'd punched a guy for being Jewish on the street in Brooklyn. And this guy who's homeless and is obviously deranged, he has 44 arrests. So somebody who could do something like that, you know, you've got people like that on the subway. And we're a little bit leery about getting on the subway. This, by the way, is another thing with the bail situation in New York. And I know that there are people on BAI who are crusading for this. And this is a great thing that people don't have to pay bail and can just go in and get arraigned on something. And no matter what they do, they're back out on the street within minutes. And I don't think it's always a good idea. I mean, some of that, okay, but when you got guys like this who have this enormous rap sheet, he's going to present a danger to the rest of society. And, you know, so yeah, I think some people need to be kept locked up before they go to trial. All right, that's that. But yeah, we are concerned about getting on the subways. I mean, where are these two little old people? And, you know, people who want to go around assaulting people, oh boy, we look like just these easy victims for them, and they're going to gravitate towards us because they figure, here are some free targets I can hit. And, oh boy, we got to be careful of that stuff.
No, a lot of it is that there are 2 million people who aren't taking the subway anymore right now, and that makes a tremendous difference. In the whole feel of the subway, the more people you have around, the safer it is. And since the plague began, that's been a gigantic change. So, speaking of the plague, I was looking through all our notes for these programs, and I was looking back to March of 2020 and how there was a note like towards the end of March saying, oh yes, and the city will open back up June 8th. Oh.
I think that was about the time we had all of the tractor trailers, refrigerated tractor trailers, getting turned into makeshift morgues because so many people were dying.
Yes, and there's at least 1,700 people a day dying across the United States. This very much hasn't gone away. We have many tools in the toolkit, as they keep saying, but some people refuse to even look at the toolkit, so that's not going to help with the tens of millions of people who won't get vaccinated. And we've had bad things happen before. We've had Alpha, and like you said, the tractor trailers full of people's bodies in there. We've had Delta, then we had Omicron, so we can't say that there won't be any more mutated viruses happening.
Absolutely not.
And that's why waiting a few weeks. Why not wait a few weeks? No, we've got to open up because they don't want to have that date in March when they shut the city down and they shut the state down March 22nd, 2020. They wanted to jump away from that. And this is political stuff. This isn't science.
They don't want anybody to be able to say, it's been 2 years.
Yes.
It's been 2 years, but they don't want somebody. They can quibble now and say, oh, not quite. And, of course, part of the thing here is all the anti-vaxxers who are out there and the ones who aren't dying of COVID-19 but who catch it, they're places, they become venues of mutations, and we get more variants out of them probably. And we talked about the interesting way that the Omicron variant seems to have come about, because it has a lot of weaknesses which were around for a while and then came together to make a strength so that it's extremely infectious. And the only reason it was able to hang around and get together while it had those weaknesses was because it was probably mutating in the body of someone who had a weakened immune system. And besides the anti-vaxxers and the people who can't get vaccinated in other countries, there are other countries where they can't get the vaccine. They would love to get the vaccine, but they can't get it for whatever reason. Besides that, you also have the discovery, which we talked about now, I guess, a couple of months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, of other vectors. A vector, in terms of disease, is a non-human creature that gets the disease, and it does stuff in those creatures, and then they can transmit it back to human beings. The white-tailed deer is apparently completely infected in North America. And you've got white-tailed deer all over the United States, up into Canada, and there are just millions of these animals, and they're out in the wild, and they're giving each other these things. And all you need is for one of them, for the virus to mutate in one of them in such a way that it's then given to a human being, and oh boy, now we could have something, you know, nobody knows about yet. The thing I keep referring to as the Omega variant, which would be a variant that just kills everybody. That's probably not going to happen. But Jesus H. Christ, the pandemic is not over yet. And we're going to be living with this disease one way or another. Well, certainly for the rest of my life, which isn't that long.
Hey.
And, well, you know, I'm an old fart and I'm not going to be around all that long. But figure, you know, probably for most of the rest of this century, COVID-19 or some part of it is going to be around, and you don't know what it's going to turn into. Now, I mentioned we had iffy news and some good news. And so we've talked about some of the iffy news. The good news is that researchers in the United Kingdom have announced that the immune suppressant drug, I'll try to get this right, baricitinib, has reduced the risk of dying among hospitalized COVID patients by 13%. And 13% isn't a gigantic amount, but it's something. That's 13% of people not dying. And the researchers said that it seemed to be especially effective when combined with other drugs such as the steroid dexamethasone. Now, this baricitinib hasn't been peer-reviewed yet, but the scientists who researched it are very optimistic that it's going to be found to be very effective. And one of the lead researchers, University of Oxford clinical scientist Martin Lundray, said, quote, adding baricitinib, I think I got it right that time, on top of whatever else the doctors are currently prescribing is beneficial, unquote. And it should be noted that, yes, sometimes you have to deal with the overreaction of your own immune system. In fact, in the 1919 flu pandemic, which killed tens of millions of people, a lot of the deaths were caused by the immune system going into overdrive and creating cytokine storms, and that's what killed the person. The flu didn't do it directly. It was the response, the over-response of the immune system, which killed so many people. And this is the kind of thing you have to, you know, that makes doctoring so complicated. You have to watch things and you have to get the immune system working. Oh, but we can't have it working too much. So it's difficult to do. But this baricitinib stuff appears to be helping people. This is if you've already gotten it, if you're in a hospital with COVID-19. And this reduces deaths by 13%. So that would be more people surviving, and that is a rare good thing that we're seeing showing up in all of this stuff with this really awful pandemic we've got. And then there's some other news of the pandemic to some degree, more news of bad human behavior. Anti-vaxxers are still being obnoxious. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a woman named Christina Blair got very angry that a guy had a bumper sticker that said he was vaccinated. Ms. Blair started honking her horn and cursing at the other driver, Gabriel Chavez, who said that he waved for Blair to go around him. He thought she just wanted to pass him. But instead, she caught up to him at a red light and threw an empty water bottle in his car. He got flustered by her yelling at him and cursing at him and throwing stuff at him. And so when the light changed, he accidentally backed up into the front of her car instead of going forward. And so the two of them pulled into a Walgreens parking lot that was right there. He figures it's to exchange insurance information. And Ms. Blair pulls out a gun, racks around into the chamber, which means it's an automatic, and aimed it at Chavez. Ms. Blair was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She has a number of prior arrests for bad behavior of a violent nature, and so a judge declared that Blair is a, quote, dangerous person, unquote, and ordered that she remain jailed leading up to her trial. And she'd originally lied and said he was blocking her, trying to prevent her from leaving the parking lot, and she couldn't get out. That's why she pointed the gun at him. And luckily for Mr. Chavez, there was surveillance video, and the cops looked at that and said, this isn't true. She could have left any time she pleased. She just decided she wanted to point a gun at this guy and try to intimidate him. This is amazing stuff that people feel so privileged that they see somebody with a bumper sticker with which obviously this person disagrees, and they get to pull a gun on you. Man, oh man, this is bad news. But, you know, people do behave badly sometimes, and oh boy, do we ever have it here. Yeah, this is... people feel that they get to do this now, especially the anti-vaxxers who, you know, oh, you're saying you're vaccinated. Oh, I'm offended. I'm going to kill you. And then, you know, I remember they, what was it, in the summer, last summer, they were attacking COVID testing sites, yes, by Union Square, yes, and stuff like that. Really, is bad behavior.
You know, just a few weeks ago, they were attacking hospitals in Canada. I mean, geez.
Well, yeah, and also we have the stupid trucker thing, which, by the way, the big, gigantic, oh boy, super-duper trucker stuff that was going to happen and was going to come crushing down during Biden's State of the Union speech. They got it already. Tens of thousands will be there, and 12 people showed up. They got themselves a permit, I guess. They had a little stage set up. They had a sound system. And you can see on the video, The reporters said 12, and I guess they just had, you know, easy to count. And it was just like a person here and there, and that's it. They didn't appear all that enthusiastic, but maybe the fact that they weren't in large numbers helped that. But wow, that was really something. The big trucker thing has apparently vaporized right there. I'm glad about that. It's good that we don't have people using trucks to try and block everything and, I don't know, force Adams to do what he's doing or something. I don't know.
Oh, you mean in New York City? That
well,
would be
here or anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, apparently there are some that are still on their way, supposedly, to Washington, D.C.
Well, they're going to get there a little late.
Well, yes.
And meanwhile, those two morons, Bobart and Green. Is that her name, Green? Yeah.
Yes.
The two of them were disrupting the State of the Union address. What creeps. Only the Republicans do that. Obama got, verbally assaulted by one of the Republicans some years ago during his State of the Union speech. The Democrats aren't going in. They didn't do that to Trump when he was busy telling lies and, you know, stealing stuff and committing crimes in office. But the Republicans, I guess, figure they can just go and do this kind of thing. Jesus H. Christ. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. We're mandated by management to do a 10-minute pitch during this program to get more of you to become BAI buddies. We'll be back to doing radio program stuff in 10 minutes. Meanwhile, 1-212-209-2950.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with abilities, intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up that I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the National Convention. And I mean this. I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought in terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people, first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people. And for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program. Or call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
Yes, folks, we're begging for bucks again here at WBAI during Women's Month, or is that Intergalactic Gals Month, as some on back of the book would say and have said. Yes, for a $15 a month sustaining membership, you can get the 8 GB USB flash drive Women in History. Oh, it's got a lot of stuff in there, folks, as you just heard from the Pacifica Radio Archives from the Vault program. It's got everything. It's got women in literature, women in politics, women in the arts, women in labor. And you get to carry it around in a lovely WBAI tote bag, too. So come on and become a BAI buddy this month of women.
I should say that I remember Shirley Chisholm from the gay liberation movement, when I was in the Gay Activists Alliance in the 70s, and she was in Congress by then, and she was a vocal supporter of gay and lesbian rights back in those days, which not everyone was. And so, yeah, she endorsed all of these things, and we were very glad to have her on our side.
I'd have to say that I only learned about Shirley Chisholm much more recently than that, meaning some decades after that. But she seems like a person that did a lot of stuff, and it was really important that she had her run for president.
Yeah.
That was a really good thing.
And, of course, the reason you don't know about her is because you're from the North Pole.
Well, that's
true. You weren't in this country for any of that stuff.
That is true.
You're a relatively recent arrival, although not that recent lately.
I think the only person on the vast list of programs that are on this 8 GB drive, the only person I ever met was Grace Paley. And that was just very briefly. I mean, she was at a friend's house having tea, and I happened to be there doing something else, I think. And I didn't know who she was. And it was only somewhat later that I read any of her books, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. But so if you want to get this 8 GB USB flash drive and the ever-thrilling WBAI tote bag / grocery bag, you can call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. This is a special pitching time that we're doing. And management, as I've said, has dictated that we will do a 10-minute pitch, including the a piece of one small segment of the big 8 GB drive, and you can get a hold of that thing by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is a sustaining membership at WBAI, which means you pledge a certain amount of money every month. Now, I believe management says that the pledge amount for this 8 GB USB flash drive and the tote bag that accompanies it. Believe me, it's a little thing. You don't have to use the whole tote bag to hold. It's not like a big thing, although the amount of audio on it is tremendous compared to the olden days. Anyway, it's $15. If you make a pledge of $15 a month, you become a BAI buddy and you get this Women's History Month, or it's Women's History, period, USB flash drive. And you get it by calling 1-212-209-2950. And the call center will pick up and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and that you want to pledge $15 per month as a BAI buddy, and that you want the USB flash drive about women's history.
And your tote bag.
And your tote bag, yeah. And so, well, we're mostly pushing this flash drive here. And these are audio segments from the Vault show that Pacifica Radio Archives did for many years. In fact, we used to have From the Vault as a lead-in to our program at one point in time some years ago. And so they do all sorts of different things there. And one of the things is their segments on women's history. Now, what you're getting here are a whole bunch of different programs, basically, from Pacifica Radio Archives on women's history, and it features the voices of all these many women. There are 81 programs on here, and they're in MP3 files, so they'll play on most things, and these are the highest quality MP3 files. I know that what we were sent, which you heard at the top of this pitch, is a 320 16-bit audio, 320 kbps. That's basically, this is the highest quality MP3 file you can get. In fact, it's 25% the size of a WAV file, and the WAV file is at that rate is CD quality. But you know, for human voice, CD quality isn't necessary at all. 1-212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Tell them when they pick up that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you want to get the Women in History USB flash drive.
And tote bag.
Thank you, and we hope you'll call. The war. Yes, we have the war still going on. Russia, of course, invading Ukraine. And, of course, they're bombing residential neighborhoods like crazy. You know, they're not going after the military, really, at this point in time. They're bombing the administrative buildings. They're bombing residences, people's houses. And you can see it. I mean, one guy was doing a selfie, and a video selfie, and a damn rocket came right over his head. And also, they have now attacked the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Their attacks have set the... Here's another thing I'm going to try and get right. May not get it quite right. The Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant was set on fire. And that's always a dangerous idea. People in Ukraine are talking to their parents in Russia about all of the stuff that's going on, that they're being attacked. And, you know, the nuclear power plant was burning, but apparently they put that out. But we're not going to get it to blow up or anything. Luckily, maybe so far. There are other ones. But the idea that they were shelling the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe is disturbing. But these people in Ukraine are calling up their parents in Russia and saying, oh, we're getting bombed. And the parents are saying, no, nothing's happening there. That can't be right. Because the Russian troops are liberators. They're coming there to save the Ukrainians from Nazis. And what's happening, of course, is the Russian state media is pushing purely Putin's propaganda. They don't allow anything else to go on the air or anything. And so these people who are the parents of some folks in Ukraine, they're believing the state-run media, and they're not believing their kids. I have to think these are probably people who grow up under communism in the Soviet Union. And those people are so brainwashed, they could never get rid of, you know, the state uberalis. And so that's like really bizarre if you're getting bombed and your parents won't believe you. Meanwhile, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, called for the assassination of Russian President Vladimir Putin and then backed down on that statement after he got a lot of backlash. Putin does need to be stopped somehow. A palace revolt might be good. On the other hand, I wouldn't cry any crocodile tears if one of his underlings took him out on a permanent basis. And, of course, this past week, the United Nations, in a non-binding vote, voted 141-5 that Russia should stop the crap. And Pickles of the North has been looking at some stuff.
Yes, this is all incredibly, incredibly disturbing. And can we say one thing about, before I tell you what it was I found online, do you think, vis-a-vis the war, that people, there are a lot of people, including the leader of Ukraine, saying, please, please come in and NATO come in and control the airspace over our country. The thing is, that's like an invitation to World War III.
That's a casus belli, all right.
Yeah.
We're going to come in and do what? How do you control it? Shoot down the Russian planes? Well, that's an act of war. And, yeah, I mean, there's no way to do that unless you've decided we're going to go to war, at which point you go to a real war. But, yeah, we can't step in and do that. Plus, of course, NATO, although it's kind of a bit stronger than it had been 2 or 3 weeks ago right now, they're not going to tolerate that sort of stuff. They live there. They don't want, you know, the Russians pouring over their borders and attacking them. So the United States and other members of NATO, they can't just go in and do that. That would be possibly World War III.
I know, which is a horrible, horrible thought, as awful as what is going on in Ukraine right now, to have the entire world go through a nuclear war would, well, I mean, young people now, I guess I'm glad to say, don't know what it was like to grow up with the threat of nuclear annihilation there all the time. All the time.
Yep, I mean, I grew up with it as a kid, all right.
Yeah, and I did too. And God, this is just, this, I think so many things that are happening now are happening because of the pandemic. I mean, so many bad things. And not just people, you know, getting the plague. Oh. One of the things that I was wondering about, vis-a-vis the war, what's going on above our heads at the International Space Station? Because who's up there? Well, you've got American astronauts, you have cosmonauts, and one European astronaut. So they're all up there. Apparently, NASA says things are going along as usual, although they must have some interesting conversations, I would think. Or do they? Do they talk about this stuff?
I should think they're probably deciding this is not an area we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, in 2014, when Russia invaded Ukraine for the first time, was that the first time? Yeah. Crimea. Yeah. They just kept working together. In fact, 1975... was when they had the Soyuz Apollo, I don't know what you call
mating,
it.
Mating, yeah.
Where they hooked up the two spacecraft in Earth orbit, and the cosmonaut and the astronaut shook hands through the opening. And since then, Russia and the United States have collaborated on many projects. And the biggest one, of course, is the International Space Station, along with a bunch of other countries, too. So I was looking at this, and I was glad to see that they're saying, at least officially, yes, things are still going on fine up there. They're just doing their jobs and stuff. And then I looked over at another part of the NASA website, and I saw something that caught my eye. It said, send your name to the moon. And apparently, in either May or maybe during the summer, this summer, Artemis is going to be launching towards the moon. And that's the new space program. Apollo, of course, went to the moon. Artemis is Apollo's sister. And so the new moonshot slash Mars shot program is called Artemis. And you can actually submit your name and they'll put it. I'm not sure what they put it on. If it's probably a USB drive or something like that. And it will go to the moon with the spacecraft. But let me just read you a little bit from NASA's website. Artemis 1, formerly Exploration Mission 1, will be the first integrated test of NASA's deep space exploration systems. The Orion spacecraft, Space Launch System, SLS, rocket, and the ground systems at Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida. The first in a series of increasingly complex missions, Artemis 1 will be an uncrewed flight test that will provide a foundation for human deep space exploration and demonstrate our commitment and capability to extend human existence to the moon and beyond. During this flight, the spacecraft will launch on the most powerful rocket in the world and fly farther than any spacecraft built for humans has ever flown. It will travel 280,000 miles from Earth, thousands of miles beyond the moon over the course of about a 4 to 6 week mission. Orion will stay in space longer than any ship for astronauts has done without docking to a space station and return home faster and hotter than ever before. So it's going to go to the moon and then it goes to, I think it's going to be 62 miles above the moon when it orbits it. And then it's going to position itself at one of the Lagrange points. And I think they said that's going to be like 40,000 miles out, but around, you know, still around the moon. So that is inspiring, I think, and a hopeful thing. So, and if you want to do a fun little thing, send your name to the moon.
And they can go up to NASA.gov and find the Artemis Project, and it'll show them where to put their names in so they can go to the moon.
Yes, you get a lovely boarding pass. Very nice. It's boarding now.
Oh, boy. So,
get ready.
Well, thank you, my dear. And we mentioned that the Russians are shooting up a nuclear power plant. Yeah, always a smart idea. And they're shooting that up. And, you know, you could, it's not going to explode. However, if they blow enough of it up, maybe some radiation will escape. We already have some radiation going out because the Russians went charging through the Chernobyl area. Because, of course, that's an undefended area. It's really easy to go rolling through there. There's nobody there. It's completely isolated. It's removed of people. It's devoid of any cities or anything. And, of course, the reason is that all the radiation escaped years ago from the Chernobyl disaster, and it's very heavily radioactive around it. So the Russians decide, showing that they have absolutely no concern whatsoever there for their own troops. They said, we can drive right through there. It's like a highway, an easy highway to go somewhere. And they did. Well, of course, this means all of these heavy tracked vehicles and these heavy trucks and things are going through it, and they're going to kick up dust. And the dust is at least somewhat radioactive. And so simply the act of driving through that with this gigantic convoys they had, that has set off a situation where the radioactivity of the area has risen. And this has been measured in Europe already, that there's more radioactivity. So that's a problem in and of itself, whether they blow up any other reactors or not. Driving through that is bad enough. However, there's an article in the December Scientific American by Nick Agassa, and it says it's basically a good story about dealing with nuclear waste, which, whether you like it or not, exists. And it says, two of nuclear waste's most problematic ingredients are metals called americium and curium. Each has particularly long-lived forms that decay much more slowly than uranium. And because they radiate so much heat, waste packages containing them must be buried far apart. Otherwise, they're going to melt everything. And according to Pennsylvania State biochemist Joseph Cotruvo Jr., quote, it's a really big problem if these elements are around even in very small quantities, unquote. And in 2018, Cotruvo and a team of researchers reported that methyl orubum extorquens, which is a bacteria that's rather common, produces a protein called lanmodulin. The microbe uses this protein to grab naturally occurring metals. And it says in the article, lanmodulin binds tightly and readily to americium and curium. And the researchers propose integrating the protein into radiation detectors and filters to extract these long-lived radioactive elements from contained nuclear waste. They could then be sequestered separately, decreasing the volume of material that needs to be monitored extensively for a long time. And captured americium and calcium could be recycled back into nuclear fuel or something. I know americium is what's used in smoke detectors. And they're not sure if lanmodulin produced by this bacterium naturally captures or disperses americium and curium already in the environment, such as those produced by nuclear weapons tests and waste leaks. But that's a possible future study focus. So this is a good thing. They have found a chemical that I guess maybe they could also make in the lab, or else they could just put these bacteria around. I don't know. And that will scarf up the americium and curium, and that will make it so that they can deal with the nuclear waste better instead of having these two radioactive elements that are really going to heat everything up.
You know, hearing you talk about that, and of course, we know that the world's worst nuclear mishap was Chernobyl, and that was very bad. The cloud release, the radioactive cloud release from that disaster went around the world. It also made me think about not wanting to get into a nuclear confrontation, because even though the Cold War got really cold for a while with the collapse of the Soviet Union, we still have a lot of nuclear weapons in the world, and they all are still pointed at each other, you know, one another's countries. And I think a lot of younger people don't even realize that. They're overwhelmed by thinking about, say, global warming, which is a very important thing to think about. But the possibility of having a nuclear confrontation is very real, and it's never gone away. And it really got ratcheted up over these past few days.
That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back here next week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
Thanks a hell of a lot for listening, and we're going to try and enjoy the warmer days that are coming up a little bit, and spring is almost here. We're almost getting to spring now. Enjoy it as much as you can. You know, at least we haven't got a war happening on us yet. And above all, remember what that, hoping that we don't need to spread that radiation-eating bacteria around too soon all over everything, Dormouse said.
Winding your way down Baker Street, lighting your city desert.
Do you think this war will ever end?
I don't know. They'll just have another one.
I want to get out of here. Don't you?
Not that much.
So you like it here?
It's not that bad.
You're in a foxhole with a war raging outside.
I know. That's why I'm sure glad I've got my WBAI.
Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org. Now, do it now.
To listener sponsored WBAI New York with a moment in women's history. Grace Paley is familiar to longtime WBAI listeners.
I think someone had said something about how the old anti-war movement thought if we were all nice, everything would change. But the truth is, many people spent many years in jail. Tens of thousands of people lived in exile for many years. There are probably hundreds underground to this day.
Paley helped found the Vietnam Peace Center in 1961. She visited Hanoi as a member of a peace delegation.
Groups of people from the anti-war peace movement went to Vietnam during the war with an arrangement with the Vietnamese government to bring back American prisoners of war. This was the idea of the Vietnamese to really show that they would like to end the war. And they were sending these guys back, 3-4 at a time. And they were all pilots, they were all officers. It was an officer class. And they asked only one thing, and that was that these pilots not be used again during the war, and that they not have any association with the Air Force. Within 6 months of their return, the United States government had them teaching other pilots and continuing their old work. It was clear from that the United States had no intentions of ending that war. The reason I'm telling you this is because I think the whole Iranian business is exactly the same thing.
The celebrated writer and peace activist was forever making connections between the past and the present. Grace Paley once said, "There's no point in getting older if you can't say something about what happened earlier."
We're living right now at a time where the United States government could have gotten out of the whole thing very easily.
In the 70s, Paley turned her attention to the anti-nuclear movement. She once said for a writer not to be political is peculiar. She was interested in a history of everyday life. She was one of the earliest writers to explore the lives of women, mostly Jewish, mostly New Yorkers, with a focus on single mothers. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Grace Paley and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag for all your belongings when you're out and about. Please go to women.wbai.org, women.wbai.org, to become a WBAI buddy in the name of your favorite program, or in the name of all WBAI programs, or in the name of WBAI's long history of activism and programming you enjoy. Please call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, "Yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month."